the moment we've all been waiting for, Tunde Adebola. When I saw the first photograph I saw of him, I'm like, this is a good looking man. But I think that was when he was a lot, maybe that was like years ago. And then I heard his analysis of Ifa divination in mathematics, and I was pleased. And I thank once again the listeners who try to help me find him, because today we have the pleasure of having him on the Lords of Logic.
Where are the Lords? This is the Lords of Logic on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Okay, so I did mention earlier on he's supposed to join us via Zoom, but he's on the telephone line. We'll begin our conversation via telephone because time is not enough. Someone told me to end Confessions Thursday at 1:30 because of this. Well, of course, you know I can't. So yeah, here we go. Welcome to the Lords of Logic. Today we're having our first guest ever. We'll call him Lord Tunde Adebola. Welcome, sir, to the Lords of Logic.
Hello.
Sir, it's good to have you here. I'm smiling. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Sir, you're live on air. I'm trying to reconfigure the Zoom link, and if I can't start it earlier than 15 minutes past 2, you would have to please bear with me. At 15 minutes past 2, then you connect to the Zoom link, okay?
Okay.
Good. In the meantime, Lagos has been waiting for you because you were the first one I spoke of when I came into the studio this afternoon. And our topic this afternoon is Ifa divination and mathematics. First, I want us to begin our conversation from Ifa divination. First, what is it? What is Ifa? Is it a religion, a cultural belief? What is it?
Ifa basically is a knowledge system. In fact, with my many years of study Ifa from the point of view of a scientist, I am beginning to feel it is more of consultation than divination, because it is a knowledge system in which large volumes of historical records are kept in the form of origin, curated through the processes of memorization and recitation, such that when a person has a problem, the closest of the available stories, circumstances to the person's problem are sought out from the large corpus of the Ifa system, and the appropriate remedies and recommendations are read out once an appropriate circumstance to the one that the troubled person presents has been found. So a lot of people look at it as religion, and religious tolerance, it dictates that you respect whatever a person regards as their religion. And that is the attitude with which I have dealt with very many of my Babalawo friends, mm-hmm. who have given me the privilege of getting deep insight into their practice. I respect the system as religion for them, but based on my own knowledge of mathematics, of computer science, of logic, philosophy of logic, logic in philosophy, I see it more as a system of consultation than a divination system.
Okay, thank you. That's a very good introduction. Now, but I'm even more curious now. What's the origin of Ifa? Is this from the gods, or is this from men of know-how, like men of repute? I'm not sure how best to, how or where to assign this, but what would be the origins of it?
The origin of Ifa in Yoruba
mythology?
Well, okay, let's say mythology because it's not a recorded history.
Yeah.
The origin is Orunmila, who we know in Yoruba as Baba Ifa, that is the captain, the progenitor, the archetype of Ifa.
The archetype, yeah.
Western interpretation, European interpretation of Ifa refers to Orunmila as the god, Yoruba god of wisdom or Yoruba god of philosophy and such things. That I have since discovered is grave error, because Orunmila is an Orisha. And a very careful careful look at the concept of Orisha does not fit into the European idea of gods, either with capital G or small g.
Okay.
So, basically, we can look at Orunmila as a philosopher. And we have backing from literature because late Professor Sophie Oluwole, who incidentally happens to be the first PhD in philosophy to be graduated from the University of Ibadan, wrote a book on Socrates and Orunmila as two masters of philosophy. So even though Orunmila existed at a time before written history, Professor Oluwole explained that neither Orunmila nor Socrates wrote anything, that both philosophers expressed their thoughts in speech, in oratory, and whatever was written about them was written by their followers after they had died. And this happened to be the exact circumstances of these two philosophers. So I would refer to Orunmila fundamentally as a great philosopher of Yoruba antiquity, and any careful study of Ifa will agree, will lead to the conclusion that it can only be the product of a great philosophical mind.
Sir, if you say Orunmila is a philosopher, then should I be allowed to assume that he is therefore human?
Oh, definitely. Orunmila was human.
Okay.
He was human. In fact, in Yoruba thought, in Yoruba knowledge system, everything that the Yoruba know, you know the thing by knowing its origin. That is the extended description of the phenomenon, of the person, of the object, or what have you. So when you consider Orunmila's oriki, you will know that he's a human being. He is described as Okunrin Kukuru Ara Oke Igeti, the short man from Igeti Hill.
Okay. So this would be... So is there any historical documentation of how he got the inspiration for...
Oh, yeah. There are many stories. There are many stories. A particular story talked of Orunmila living on Earth and blessing many people with his wisdom, helping people to solve their problems, sometimes directly, sometimes through followers. Mm-hmm. And it got to a point that the followers got big-headed and were rude to Orunmila. And Orunmila left the earth and went, and this is where it starts getting into a bit of spirituality. The Orunmila left the earth and went to the heaven. And when there were problems that were difficult to solve. The disciples went to him in heaven and begged him to come back, and he refused to come back, but he gave them some paraphernalia and told them, whenever you have problems, this is what to do. Use this paraphernalia to find out the answers to your problems. So there are stories.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is getting very interesting. Sir, you can now please connect to the Zoom link. I can give you a few moments to do that, if you're ready.
Yeah, I have the Zoom link on, but it says waiting for the host to start the meeting.
I'm started. I'm already there. I'm on the Zoom right now. If you can...
Maybe, should I just do that again?
Yeah, please. Exactly. Like, disconnect and then rejoin. And I'll spend the next few minutes. I can give you a few minutes to do that. Once you come in, you say hello. Yeah, so you take your time. Lagos, Nigeria, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to a one-of-a-kind conversation on the Lords of Logic.
Where are the Lords? This is the Lords of Logic on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome. My name is Joyce. It's 17 minutes past 2 p.m. Our guest this afternoon is Tunde Adegbola, scientist, musician, engineer, linguist, and cultural activist. He's here to help us understand what might be our human reality that may be hidden in the shadows of history. Our discussion this afternoon is Ifa, divination, and mathematics. Who knew? Well, if you've always known it, well, maybe you might understand it a lot better as he tries to give us a deeper historical understanding and eventually try to give language to the nerve that connects Ifa to mathematics. I'm so curious about that. Okay. And then if you have questions, which of course I know you do, the phone lines are ringing already. Wait now. Oh, we're still at introduction. I want to have some time with him to just establish some skeletal foundation on the conversation, and then you are at liberty to call in and ask any questions that you have. I'm really persuaded by what I would say, and I know it's just part excitement and also being honest with observing that I don't think we can thoroughly lacerate this today. So if for any reason we're not able to properly get out of him all we think we might need to give us a good, a comprehensive understanding on the subject, we'll have to have him rescheduled and bring him back at a later time at his convenience. Okay, welcome to Nigeria Info, the sunny side. My name's Joyce. Our guest is trying to connect to the Zoom link, and that would mean that the program is recorded and you can catch it up on the Nigeria Info website. I like it. So, yeah, we're trying to touch the nerve of culture and maybe see whether we can see the soul of it and see what has been, what is a lie. Because, look, I don't know what you know about conventional science. I just know some of the facts are not in themselves total facts because they cast in the shadow African history. Yes, pre-literate. So I think our culture didn't quite document a lot of its history. It was passed from person to person via word of mouth. And so I guess when the whites came, they thought they saw what they saw and went back and ascribed part of our history to themselves. And yeah, if you ever wonder why there is the social construct of the supremacies of the race, you really want to look into history. I think our guest can hear us now. Hello, sir. Can
recording
you hear me?
In progress.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, he can hear me. Lagos, Nigeria is up and back, and it's the Lords of Logic. And our guest this afternoon is, as you know, is our culture. Anyone who features on the show, Lord Tunde Adegbola. Sir, we're continuing with where you left off the last few minutes. Some people say Ifa is a religion. And I guess people today practice Ifa as a religion. Now, are they properly representing the philosophy of that particular social identity? Or is there something that modernization has done to people? And I even think it's there's another way to put this. Do the people who practice it as religion limit the extent to which Ifa as a cultural identity is the people's history? Because, you know, there's a way liturgy is practiced where the meaning of why it is practiced disappears and people are just in a pattern. They have formed a habit of just going to the shrine, washing their legs, reciting some things, and knowing nothing more. So they don't even develop on the history because, one, they don't thoroughly know the history. I hope it's not too complex a question, really.
Well, you piled it a little.
Okay.
But basically, the question is if I a religion?
Yes.
Or not the knowledge system? My approach to that question is to first of all bring you and I and our audience to the understanding that knowledge is whole.
Uh-huh.
And there was a time in history when the only subject that existed was philosophy. And it encompassed mathematics, it encompassed religion, it encompassed everything.
Yeah.
It was a holistic way of knowing. But at a point in history, people like Bruno and some other later-day philosophers offered the possibility of reductionism, in which you could reduce phenomena to digestible bits. And that was an approach that Western
civilization
intellectual tradition adopted.
Okay.
In the Yoruba intellectual tradition, that approach of reductionism is not popular. Let me say that way. So everything that the Yoruba know, they know in whole. So it's difficult to disassemble the knowledge of Ifa into what Western academic traditions would regard as probably mathematics, physics, and such things. So you find that when you take a particular Ifa verse, for example, you have in your hands a piece of beautiful poetry. Say, for example, it's short verse. Eleko diri, shebo ko diri, eleko diri, shebo ko diri, orosho dudu, orosho pupa, ufa nyani, ba jao leke inka, ufa kutiti dio le inka, eleko diri, shebo ko diri. That's just a piece of poetry. But when you look into that piece of poetry, when you give it a close reading, then you start getting embers, nuggets of philosophy. When you look at the system by which it is curated, then you start seeing something that is akin to modern day library science of indexing and cataloging and putting certain elements of knowledge in certain pigeonholes that can be accessed in certain ways. So you see, this whole thing is all put together in such a way that it's not easy to say, oh, Ifa is religion, Ifa is mathematics, Ifa is this. I think the best I've had so far is still by Professor Sophie Oluwole, who said, Ifa is not religion, but there's religion in it. Ifa is not mathematics, but there's mathematics in it. Ifa is not literature, but there's literature in it. Ifa, and on and on like that. And I take the position that I address Ifa from the mathematical point of view.
Okay, sir, do the practitioners of Ifa today understand Ifa to be more than just a cultural identity? Because if the people do not know that there is more to it, then there is a tendency for it to be, one, underrepresented and totally misunderstood. So that was the other layering to the question which I asked you earlier on.
Yeah, I think for me, the responsibility is not actually that of a, let's say, adherence
okay
of Ifa when we look at it as a religion. The responsibility is that of the whole of global humanity, because it is a human heritage. Granted, it came into global knowledge through a people, and so did many other knowledge systems or many other approaches to intellectualism. We should see every worthwhile knowledge system as a human heritage, and we should all join hands together to ensure that we do not have to reinvent the wheel.
Okay.
Any valuable knowledge that has been developed.
Sorry to interrupt your thought.
Is encouraged.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt your thought. We're off on a break. We'll be back, Lagos. 99.3 Nigeria Info, you on the sunny side. My name's Joyce. We have a scientist and a linguist with us today on the Lords of Logic. We would refer to him today as Lord Tunde Adebola. He's on the Lords of Logic with us. And I'm laboring to understand the connection between Ifa divination and mathematics. Sir, it's really a pleasure having you here, and thank you very much for holding up. Welcome, Lagos, Nigeria. If you have any questions, start sending in your questions. I'll do another 10 minutes with him and open up the telephone lines. I know it's going to be crazy. Sir, so before the break, I was asking you a question. If the practitioners of Ifa as either a culture or religion do not develop it, do you understand how the perception of Ifa as either a cultural identity or a religious persuasion can be perceived as primitive? Because you are just about to, just before you tell us how it connects to mathematics, I'm really curious. If it's not being developed on, then it dies away into the shadows of history, and you would excuse anyone who regards Ifa divination for thinking that it's primitive. What would you say about that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I don't think we can depend on people who approach Ifa as a religious devotion to develop it beyond that. But the youths and eyes who have had certain privileges of looking deeper.
Yeah.
Last time I am having the opportunity of discussing Ifa on radio, and I believe it's just about an idea whose time has come, and I think it can only get better.
Okay.
And I have always talked about what I call a structural distraction in our circumstances, to the extent that any Yoruba person that studies mathematics enough to be able to see what I see, what I saw in Ifa, is not likely to have access to Ifa. The process of teaching mathematics takes you away from Ifa.
Oh.
Because it is seen as, well, some, like you said, maybe primitive.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a bit of dignity around it in as a university, as an element of university scholarship. But then I find that there's a whole lot more of religion and literature and in the liberal arts where it is located today. So that's one problem, that distraction between the scientific thinking and the environment in which Ifa is
developed,
studied.
Yeah.
The other distraction is between Christianity and Ifa. I am a Christian. I'm a practicing Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. But I am probably one of the few Christians I know that has dared to try and study Ifa, because it is assumed, there's something about the devil, don't go there, you'll get entangled, you'll get, you'll just get confused.
Mm-hmm.
So these are two of the problems that may, that are responsible for the situation today. But for me, I happen to have come through certain historical, will I say, accidents or happenstances. My father, my late father, happened to be a theologian, a minister of the gospel, who did a lot of academic work on Ifa. In fact, he got his PhD on Ifa. And so I come from a background in which I was never scared about Ifa, and I had many Babalawo friends. And well, I dare say that I have a responsibility to take Ifa away from that area of mysticism and such to an area where it can be looked at properly as a bona fide knowledge system. And that, I tell many of my friends, is the center point of my scholarship, is to demonstrate that it is an absurdity for any people's past to be explainable only by mysticism. And that is what we seem to be doing. The whole of our past is explained only by mysticism. And I don't think that is right in a world of cause and effects. Definitely our people must have developed scientific thought. And we should not explain all our past by mysticism.
Okay. So I guess that's also a consequence of the pre-literate time in history where the only form of record was passed from person to person. Then let me ask you, what are the elements, scientific elements, that can be found within Ifa as divination or consultation, as you put it? What are the academic, well, academic is putting it narrowly. So what sciences can you find within Ifa as divination?
First and foremost, Ifa is a very, very powerful precursor to present day elements of library studies.
Oh.
In which, like I said earlier on, you have large volumes of information.
Mm-hmm.
You put them into pigeonholes such that they are easy to access.
Yeah, these informations, are they...
You develop an indexing system that gives you access to the various parts. Mm. You develop a cataloging system that gives you that access. Now, that is one aspect of the scientific in it. Another aspect of the scientific in it is that human circumstances are surrounded with probabilistic occurrences.
Okay.
There are very few things in human experience, in natural phenomena, that are deterministic, which each time you go there, you can predict to the hilt what you expect.
Okay.
And so in science, we solve this problem by looking at probability and statistics, which is the science of taking decisions in the face of uncertainty. And Ifa is fundamentally a science of taking decisions in the face of uncertainty by the use of the what is called the divination chain. Let me borrow the word divination here.
Yeah.
The divination chain, that's what it's called, which I see as basically an 8-bit random number generator that can generate a random number between 000 and 255. So with the swinging, and you see in it the swinging, there is a deliberate swinging by the Babalawo, which is to randomize so that the knowledge of the Babalawo, of the person who has come to him, does not affect his interpretation or his prognosis of the client's problem. So there's that element of randomization in it. Now, in any system in which there is randomization, as we have in modern statistics, there's what we describe as a type one error, in which you take a situation that is significant erroneously as insignificant, or a type two error in which you take an insignificant relationship erroneously as significant, or in modern artificial intelligence, in machine learning, where we talk about false positives and false negatives as against true positives and true negatives, every time a babalawo casts his ogbele, he first of all goes through a number of sayings which the average person will see as incantations, but that I see as a consultation of the orator of the science he's using to bring himself to the awareness, to an awareness of the limitations of the system. And he says, mafi bi pere, mafi repe bi, and all that, which in summary in English can be translated as, don't pass positive for negative, don't pass negative for positive. So it means that inherent in the system is the possibility of a type 1 error, of a type 2 error, of a false positive, of a false negative. And that is why the babalawo, each time he casts, reminds himself that that is possible, to the extent that if the trend is not consistent with what is expected, the babalawo knows to do another casting in order to be able to now come out with an averaging that solves the problem. These are some of the elements. The fact that Orunmila already knew about the laws of what we now call Boolean algebra, the truth table, the propositional logic, even up to first order logic and predicate logic, and what a lot of the things you see in the practices. These are some of the very, very important scientific aspects of IFA. And despite the fact that this knowledge has been passed on from one person to the other through the processes of memorization and recitation, with all the weaknesses of passing information through memorization and recitation, the fact that we still see this thick layer of scientific knowledge in it tells you that there's a lot more scientific knowledge in it in the past. I have reason that a few centuries of slavery, in which the active population who are in their prime intellectually, physically, are consistently removed from a society, from a community, consistently over a few hundred years, such that the middle demographics in terms of age that should pass knowledge from the old and matured cognoscenti to the young and upcoming, when they are consistently removed, then there is a knowledge gap. Now, today, to still be able to see so much scientific underpinnings in IFA, despite all that I have said, is testimony to the fact that there's a lot more scientific principles in IFA. And to support my position, if you go to Cuba and go to Brazil, go to Guadeloupe, go to Haiti, all these parts of the Latin Americas that Yoruba slaves were taking, you will find that the knowledge of IFA there has a kind of flavor that is different from what we have here today, which tells that those who really understood, those who were in their prime, were the ones that were taken there, and they have a version of this understanding that is slightly different from ours. Even though we still take the position that we are the originators and all that, but when you get close to them, because I have had privilege of studying some of these practices a lot deeper in those parts of the world, you will find that they have a particular flavor of the knowledge that supports my thesis that taking away the active population, the virile, the the really with it population over hundreds of years did something negative to that knowledge system. Okay. I am convinced beyond all reasonable doubt that there was a lot more science in Ifa than I have managed to extract today. Okay.
So I even have more questions for you, but like the questions for you are stacking up. So I want to go to WhatsApp and get messages for you. The first one here, okay, is asking, which heaven did Orumila go to? Please let the guest explain. Another question is, please help me ask our guest, what is Ifa? I think he wants to know, or she wants to know, how Ifa is related to spirituality. Now, I wanted to go to science first before I go to spirituality, but if the listeners are already curious as to Ifa's relationship to spirituality, then let's go there. So the first question is, what heaven did Orumila go? And then the other question is Ifa's relation to spirituality. I don't know what you know for the heaven, so I want to say something and you can disprove it. I was reading the book of Enoch, and Enoch records that there are 10 heavens. 10 or 8. Yeah, I think about 10. 10 heavens. So which heaven did Orumila go to? If you can answer that question, if you know it, and then its relation to spirituality. Please go ahead.
The first answer to the question is that I have never been to heaven. So I don't know the number of heavens there are.
Okay.
And I cannot talk about heaven with any level of authority than I think, okay, who asked the question.
Yeah.
Now, heaven is an ideational place.
Oh.
Heaven is an ideational place.
Yeah.
We were not able to really conceive practically and scientifically of ideational places until information technologies came.
Okay.
And philosophers started talking to us about spaces of places as against spaces of flows, in which at a time in history you want to do business, you need land, buildings and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And today all you need is space on your laptop. And as long as you have bandwidth to pass information between you and the world, you have what it takes to become a wealthy person. So that is another notion of space.
Okay.
So it becomes a lot more accessible to us, where we now talk about heaven as a kind of ideational space. Now, to answer the question, which heaven? I think it will be easier to answer the question if one knows which heaven okay himself knows.
Okay.
And how did he come about those heavens? I just reported historical
documentation. Then let me ask. It's therefore possible that what they call heaven is not heaven. Might be yonder. Might be the spiritual world. It might not necessarily be heaven, but it's recorded as heaven. And this is me extracting a notion given the absence of any further proof. Now, the reason I referenced Enoch was because, according to Enoch, he said he went. So that's why I'm referencing Enoch. And I can understand the fact that you say the pre-literate historical documentation of Ifa doesn't tell which heaven. I can respect that. But it also leaves room for the assumption that probably it's not heaven. It's like the people who reincarnate. They don't go to heaven and come back. They go somewhere, but it's not heaven. Do you understand my import? Are you there? This internet, it's not going to fail us. No, it's not. 48 minutes past 2 p.m. The network of my guests is a little frozen, so I want to fetch more questions. Welcome to the Lords of Logic. Hello, sir. Can you hear me? Okay, Lagos, Nigeria, if you have just tuned in. Hello, sir. Can you hear me? Okay, so I lost him. Lagos, Nigeria, welcome. If you have just tuned in, we have work. We're trying to comprehend Ifa and mathematics. And I wanted to personally start from Ifa, mathematics, and then spirituality. But the comment section has already gone to spirituality already. So I don't want to hinder anybody's questions today. So let's go there if you're there already. If you have any questions relating to Ifa and mathematics, then go. And maybe you can also start asking questions from how far you comprehend the complexity between what would be a pre-literate historical time in Yoruba land and how that has a relation to mathematics. The telephone lines are ringing. If you would give me a moment, I'm trying to get my guest back. And yes, if you're wondering, our guest is scientist, musician, his... a linguist. His name is Tunde Adegbola, Lord Tunde Adegbola. He's on the Lords of Logic. And I think this is, for me, the only African who has spoken about a cultural identity and science in the same breath. Because usually the people whom I've seen do it are the civilized world. And so he sparked my curiosity to the extent where I had to come on radio practically looking for him. And we found him, but I've lost him. So I'm hoping I can get him back. And if I'm able to get him back, Oh, Lagos, by the way, we're off on a break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Sunsets here. My work's done. Have a beautiful weekend. I'll be back Monday when the sun rises on Nigeria Info. It's the sunny side. My name is Joyce. I live you in the lights. God bless you.
Yeah.